We can see from Romans chapter 1, verse number 16, that the intent of the gospel is to save our soul. The Apostle Paul would say, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The gospel is also designed to build us up. In Acts chapter 20, verse number 32, as the Apostle Paul was meeting with the elders at Ephesus, he would say, "I commend you to God in the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." We also see that the gospel gives us hope of eternal life. Well, let me invite you to open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2, because in 1 John 2, beginning at verse 28, all the way down to 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, we're going to be talking about that blessed hope. The Apostle John talks about that blessed hope that we have in Jesus Christ. After you have marked 1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse 28, I want you then to open your Bibles to Titus chapter 3. What we want to do is look at three different sections of Scripture. We'll begin with Titus chapter 3, and then we'll look at 1 Peter 1, and then Romans 5, and then we'll use that as an introduction to our study of the blessed hope that we have in Jesus Christ from 1 John chapter 2. The Bible has a lot to say about the blessed hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And I want to begin here in Titus chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 3 through 7. And then we'll make some observations. Beginning at Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse number 3. Paul says, For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish and disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He has shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now let's look at some things from this reading. First of all, when you go back to verse number 3, the Apostle Paul describes our past life, when we were dead in sin. Well, what does it mean to be dead in sin? It means to be eternally lost, according to Ephesians 2, verse 12, without hope. With no hope. And so here in verse number 3, the Apostle Paul is describing the deadness of sin, describing our past before Jesus Christ. And then as you look at verse number 4, even though we were dead in our sins, God was looking out for our best interests. And that's the very nature of God. God gives us what we need, not what we deserve. By verse number 4, you may want to jot down Psalm 103, verse number 10, where the psalmist declared, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor hath He rewarded us according to our iniquities." Again, but after this kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appear. And then as you look at verse number 5, we see that salvation, deliverance from sin, did not come by our own works, by works of righteousness which we devised. You'll see that there in verse number 5. Again, not by works of righteousness that we have come up with, that we have devised. A great cross-reference would be Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, as the Apostle Paul talks about his fellow kinsmen, those practicing Judaism. And remember, he says, they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about, he says, listen to it, to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. They're trying to establish their own system of righteousness through Judaism, and they rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, the deliverance, the salvation that we're talking about doesn't come through works of righteousness that we have devised. It comes through God's system of righteousness. It comes through that plan of righteousness, that plan of salvation. But then look at verse number 6. This deliverance, this salvation that we have in Jesus Christ has been made available to every person. A great cross-reference that you may want to jot down by verse number 6 is Titus 2, verse number 11, where Paul says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men." But look at verse number 7, because verse number 7 is a great, great verse. It's a key verse. When we obey the gospel, something happens. We experience two things. Look at verse number 7. We experience, first of all, justification. Justification through the grace of God. In Romans 5, verse 9, we learn that we're justified by the blood of Christ. When we contact the blood of Christ, our sins are washed away. We are now justified. But notice the second thing there in verse number 7. We become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Here's the point. The salvation that we're talking about that's found in Jesus Christ, that's been made available to every person, that's not devised after our system of righteousness, but from God's, has future benefits. Again, the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ has future benefits. Hope, we have hope of eternal life. That blessed hope that we have in Jesus Christ brings eternal life. And we're talking about that blessed hope tonight from 1 John chapter 2. But there's another section of Scripture that I want to talk about before we look at 1 John chapter 2. In fact, there are two more sections. Let's now turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. Turn over, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 1. The Apostle Peter talks about that blessed hope. Let's begin reading in 1 Peter 1. We'll begin at verse 3. We'll read down through verse 6. And just like we did with Titus chapter 3, we'll come back and make just a few observations. But everything that we're saying from these different contexts center around that blessed hope. And they really pave the way for our study for 1 John chapter 2. Well, let's begin here in 1 Peter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation." Well, let's go back to verse number 3. We learn in verse number 3 that we are born again unto a lively hope. A hope that lives. And it's important to see that. A hope that lives. Not a dead hope, but a lively hope. And we see also from verse number 4 that hope involves an inheritance. That's exactly what Paul was talking about in Titus chapter 3. But here Peter is talking about that hope. That lively hope involves an inheritance. And this hope is so glorious. We're now in verse number 6. We endure all kinds of trials. Again, that hope that we have in Jesus Christ of eternal life is so glorious that we endure all kinds of trials. And Peter talks about those trials in verses 6 through 8 in light of our future hope. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 5. You'll notice in Romans chapter 5, essentially Paul is going to talk about the same thing, that blessed hope that we have in Jesus Christ, here in Romans chapter 5. Let's read Romans chapter 5. We'll read 1 through 5, and then we'll make a few observations. Romans chapter 5, let's begin at verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, Paul says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory, Paul says, in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Again, Paul says our hope from Romans 5, 1 through 5 is not diminished by trials. Our hope is not diminished by trials. In fact, our hope is enhanced by the trials that we encounter this life. The more we endure, here's the idea, the more we endure, the brighter our hope will be. Think about that. The more we have to endure through this life, the brighter our hope will be. And that's why the Apostle Paul would say in Romans 8, verse number 18, notice how this verse fits into the context of Romans chapter 5, when he says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time will not be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us." What is Paul talking about? The glory that shall be revealed in us. He's talking about that blessed hope that we have in Jesus Christ. I hope you see how Titus 3 and 1 Peter 1 and Romans 5 really fit into the context, into the subject that we're talking about tonight, as we now turn our attention to 1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse 28, as the Apostle John talks about that blessed hope that we have in Jesus Christ. I love just reading context like we just read from Titus and 1 Peter and Romans 5. And I love to see how all of that just really ties together. And it really gives us something to think about from perhaps a different angle, so we will better understand that blessed hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Well, tonight as we talk about this blessed hope, the Apostle John is going to give us five features of our blessed hope. Beginning at 1 John 2, verse 28, he is going to give us five features. He's going to talk about this hope, and he's going to look at these different dimensions of that hope. First of all, as we look at 1 John 2, verse 28, and I promise you I won't be long-winded with each point. I realize 5 points, you're thinking, well, if it's 3 to 5 minutes per point, okay, I won't be that long with each of the points, but think about these points, because they're right there in the text. Look at verse number 28. Our blessed hope, number one, is secured by an abiding faith. The blessed hope that we have in Jesus Christ, the hope of eternal life, again, is secured by an abiding faith. Listen to what John says. He says, "Now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Now, here's the point. Those who have this blessed hope remain faithful to Jesus Christ. As we go through this life, what really matters is faithfulness. Being faithful, Revelation 2, verse 10, unto death. You don't have to tell me why you are here tonight. I know why you're here. You want to be faithful. You want to be loyal. You want to be committed to God because of that blessed hope. And God wants us to know in His Word that if we will abide in Christ, if we are faithful in Christ, that hope is secured by an abiding faith. And that's the kind of faith that we need to have. A faith that is strong. But if we become unfaithful, if we fall away from the Lord, we're not going to live with confidence. We're not going to be ready for His return. If we become unfaithful when He comes again, verse number 28, we will be ashamed, the Apostle John says, before Him at His coming. You can add a point to that. He'll be ashamed of us if we are unfaithful. Let's make the determination right now, like David. As long as I live, I am going to serve the Lord. I am going to magnify the Lord. I am going to put Him first in my life. Let's be sure from this point forward that we yoke ourselves with the teaching of Jesus Christ. That's how we know that we're abiding in Him. And we talked about that already from the book of 1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse 18 and following. The doctrinal test of fellowship. How do you know you're abiding in Him? How do you know you're being faithful to Him? Well, are you abiding in His teaching? Are you yoked with the teaching of Jesus Christ? That's what we're encouraged to do in the great invitation when Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Listen to it. Take My what? Take My yoke upon you. What is Jesus talking about? Take My yoke upon you. And here's the key to the yoke. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me. You yoke yourself with the teaching of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of Jesus Christ, and you learn about Christ. You come to know Christ in an intimate way, and Christ will dwell in you, as we talked about in Ephesians chapter 3. He'll make His home in your heart, and you'll know it because you are faithful to Him. But now look at verse number 29, number 2. Number 2, our blessed hope from verse number 25 is manifested by righteousness. It's manifested by righteousness. Look at verse number 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear... Excuse me, I dropped down to verse 2 of 1 John 3. Look at 1 John 2, verse number 29. If ye know that He is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness, I like this, is born of Him. You see, when we obey God's plan of righteousness, we talked about that already. When we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, when we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we learn in Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, that we are raised to walk in newness of life. You see, the old man of sin has been put to death. We now put on the new man. No longer do we steal. No longer do we cheat. No longer do we hate. No longer do we lie. No longer do we curse. No longer do we covet. We put the old man to death. We bury that old man in baptism. We are now to put on the new man. We are now to live like Jesus Christ. Now you stop and think about righteousness. In Titus 2, verse number 12, we are to live soberly and righteously and godly now that we're Christians in this present world. We might say it like this. Righteousness is the result of the righteous one, Jesus Christ, living in us. Again, righteousness is the result of the righteous one, Jesus Christ, living in us. In 1 Peter 2, verse 24, we learn that He bore our sins on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. You see, Christ died for our sins. He paid the price so that our sins could be washed away, so that we would live righteously. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, it says, He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Again, we know that He is righteous, and everyone that doeth righteousness. How do we do with righteousness? We follow God's Word. It goes back all the way to 1 John chapter 1. We walk in the light. And when we walk in the light, we live righteously before God. That doesn't mean that you'll be perfect. That means that you'll make mistakes, but you have the right attitude. You confess your sins, and you try to live right. You try to be the person that God wants you to be, and God wants you to know that, you know what? When you live like that, you have that blessed hope through my Son, and that blessed hope, it is secured by an abiding faith, verse 28. And we see that it is manifested by righteousness, by the way you're living your life, verse number 29. But notice the third point. And now we're into 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1. It is established in the marvelous majesty of God's love. You and I tonight have hope because of the love of God. Because God loved us so much. Listen to what John says in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1. Behold what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. We are called the sons of God because of God's love. Look at 1 John chapter 4. And as you read 1 John chapter 4, the Apostle John is going to have so much to say about the love of God. But I like what he says. Verse number 10. Herein is love. Now notice what we said already. God is love. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. And it's because of that love that we have a blessed hope in Christ Jesus of eternal life. But here in verse number 10, this is what God's love did for us. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You know the word propitiation, if I remember right, I believe it's found three times in the New Testament. It speaks about Jesus Christ dying in our stead. The word propitiation has to do with a substitutionary sacrifice. And it was because of God's love that He provided that substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus Christ dying in our stead so that we can be right with God. Again, what was it that motivated God to send His Son? John 3, verse number 16. What was it that motivated Jesus Christ to suffer and die on the cross? It has to do with God's marvelous love. Because of that love, we can be called the children of God. We live in hope because God has made us His children. You know, one of the greatest concepts that you read about in the New Testament as it relates to being called the children of God, and it's found in Ephesians chapter 1, the idea of adoption. We are God's adopted children. I appreciate those who adopt children. It really takes a lot of love to do that. As you know, I was adopted, and I'm very thankful that I was adopted. And I think, if anything, it's given me a better understanding of what it means to be adopted as God's dear children. That's how much He loves us. You see, we are no more, as Paul would say in Ephesians 2, we're no more strangers. We are no more foreigners in Christ. 1 John 3:1, we are the children of God. And so that blessed hope, it is established in the marvelous majesty of God's love. God loves us that much that He sent His Son to die so that we could be right through Him, so that we could have that blessed hope of eternal life, of being with God forever in eternity. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty amazing thought, isn't it? To be with God in eternity. Even Gary is smiling when he hears that. That's good news, isn't it? To think about that blessed hope. Well, continue to read with me as we look at verse number 2. We see that hope is fulfilled in Christ's likeness. Verse number 2, that hope is fulfilled in Christ's likeness. John says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear," I love this, "we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Ultimately, this hope that we're talking about will be fulfilled in Christ's likeness. We'll be, John says, we will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And I know what you're thinking. Well, what is that going to look like, Clay? I don't know. I can't answer that. But what I can say is it will be right, and it will be good, and it will be beyond our imagination. But the Bible does give us some insight into what the Apostle John is saying. As you read all of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it talks about the resurrection. And because of the resurrection, we have that blessed hope of being changed, of being raised. And what we know from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and as we see this verse here in 1 John chapter 3, that when we are raised from the dead, when Christ returns again, there will be a resurrection of the just, of the unjust, and we will be given a spiritual body that is fit for eternity. You see, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 that flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. Will we be able to identify each other? I believe we will. Based upon this verse right here, we'll be able to identify our Lord. If we can identify our Lord, I also believe we'll be able to identify one another. But I can tell you that it will be glorious, it will be right, and it will be good. That's the hope that we have. Again, this body that we have right now, it's not fit for eternity. This body will be put off. It's a physical body. If time continues, as I pointed out this morning, one of these days we'll die. And the body will return, the physical body will return to the dust of the ground. But if Christ comes while we're living, again, 1 Corinthians 15 is just a great chapter on everything we're talking about, we'll be changed. Again, we'll be given that spiritual body that's fashioned like His glorious body, as Paul would talk about in Philippians chapter 2. And so we can see as we work our way through 1 John 2 and 1 John chapter 3 that John talks about this blessed hope. And he talks about these different features of our blessed hope. As we looked at verse number 28, we see that our hope is secured by an abiding faith. We see, number two, that our hope is manifested by righteousness. It is established by God's marvelous love. And then we notice here, number four, it is fulfilled in Christ's likeness. That's the hope that we have, being like Christ, spiritually speaking. But then notice our last point tonight from verse number three. We see that this blessed hope, and this maybe is one of my favorite points, this blessed hope that we're talking about tonight is characterized by purity. It's characterized by purity. Listen to what John says. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. You see, the hope that we're talking about tonight will change your life. It will transform who you are. If you really grasp this hope, the Apostle John says it'll be obvious by the way that you live your life. Purity, holiness, sanctification will have great meaning to your life. You'll think about how you live. You will think about each choice that you make in light of that blessed hope. You see, I don't want to do anything that will jeopardize that hope that I have in Jesus Christ. And so I am going to be committed to holiness. You know, the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 12, verse number 14, without holiness, no man shall see God. I don't know about you, but when I read through these verses, I want to see God. And I want to be with God. And so I want to live in a way where heaven will be my home. Remember John 14, 1 through 4? Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. You see, as we go through this life, as we strive to live for God, as we strive to follow God and do the very best that we can, as we face the trials and the challenges and the difficulties of this life, God is preparing us for something that is so much better. He's preparing us for eternal life. Let's live with that determination. I am going to be holy. And I am going to live for God because of the hope that I have. You want motivation to live for God? You think more about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. The lesson is yours tonight. If we can help you spiritually speak in any way, won't you please come right now.